Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom at voicesofmontana.com. I like the ring of that, you know, when you hear Montana is open for business, right? There's a good true ring to that. And by golly, we'll tell the world. That's what we're doing here today. Well, actually, we're kind of recapping what our state of Montana did over the past week. A trade mission to South Korea and Japan, October 19th through the 25th. Have a lot of folks lined up here as we'll talk with Director Jillian Street of the Ag Department and Rancher Turk Stovall, who are alongside on that. From the Commerce Department, you'll like hearing from Tony Brockman. And also, it is Steve Ayer, who's with a company out of Wolf Creek, Solodex. That's a medical device company. They've got some information to share as well. We'll kick it off here with Montana Governor Greg Gianforte. Let's recap this. It's from wheat to bioscience and photonics. All right, let's go to Governor Greg Gianforte back from this trip, South Korea and Japan. Good morning, Governor. How you doing, sir?
Hey, Tom. It's good to be with you.
Thank you for...
We had a great trip. Korea and Japan are consistently in Montana's top five trading partners. That's why this trip was important. We took a delegation that included grain growers, stock growers, manufacturing, photonics, biosciences, just so people get some perspective. Korea is our second largest trading partner. We ship $335 million worth of product to Korea every year. Japan is our fourth largest. Last year, we shipped $265 million worth of product over there. So it was really important that we go strengthen the existing relationships, hopefully form some new ones.
Yeah, talk about those mission goals.
Yeah, we had this. The delegation was 42 people. They each were pursuing their own goals. But for our grain growers, you know, we were trying to find new markets and just telling the story about the quality of Montana grain. For our stock growers, they were doing some reconnaissance, trying to learn some new methods. And again, Montana's one of the top 10 beef producing states in the United States. Last year, we had $41 million of beef going to Japan. So that was an important market to go deeper. But then there's new technologies. We had biosciences companies where, you know, you're going to have Steve from Solodex on later. He signed a new distribution deal while he was over there. And photonics, and we had the biosciences groups represented. And we got access at incredible levels. In Korea, you know, I met with the prime minister. We met with the equivalent of their head of the Chamber of Commerce in Japan, the chairman of NTT. He runs one of the trade organizations. They had a seminar, had a couple of hundred people in it, mostly CEOs and presidents of technology companies. And I'll tell you, Tom, there was a lot of networking going on.
Yeah. And you know, as Steve, as you mentioned, will join us a bit later on, too. In signing that deal, he had been working on that for quite some time. So I think it exemplifies, you know, what a trade mission can accomplish in that regard.
Yeah, and both Japan and Korea are some of the most highly quality sensitive markets in the world. I in my technology business, we did a lot of work in Japan, and they want to see you. They want to sit down. They want to share a meal. They want to look you in the eye. And one of the things that really resonated, particularly with the ag buyers over there, whether it was the flour millers that we had a meal with in Tokyo, or the pasta manufacturers, the fact that most Montana farms and ranches are multi-generational family operations, that commitment to multi-generational long-term relationships, boy, that really resonates with them. And it's a big aspect of why they love buying Montana ag products.
And I was glad to hear that because that was one of my questions. You know, were they all business or did you really get that sense? And I think in some cultures, Japan especially, you know, it is relationship first and then profit later. And That's unique, I think, in a way. I want to ask this. Our Montana brand, it's got a high value. And, of course, with trading partners like South Korea and Japan, probably even higher because it's historically they've known about it. Is it moving the needle? I mean, is our brand growing? What is the status of our brand in these countries and then in countries where you want to expand that brand?
Well, yes, it's improving. And going there and meeting with them helped us enhance it. And that was really the goal of the mission. And taking my rule was I only wanted people going on the trip that were existing, were already doing businesses in these markets, or we're going to had a imminent capability to do business in these markets. This is not a vacation. This is a working trip to expand exports for Montana producers and for technology companies.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Give us then a day in the life of a trade mission. October, when does it start? 18th to the 25th. Kind of go through those paces.
Well, it was a wide swath, and honestly, we divided and conquered. The grain growers had their set of meetings, the stock growers had their set, the technology people had their set, and I kind of popped in and out. Again, sometimes we meet with government officials. I met with the prime minister in Korea. We met with the U.S. embassy folks because they were making introductions. But where the real work got done was when we met with the buyers. We had in Korea, we had a lunch with flour millers. They buy a lot of Montana grain. We met with the utilities that are buying Montana coal to keep the lights on, both in Japan and Korea. We had a meeting like that both in Japan and in Korea. And then we'd have these networking seminars where the local, there's not called the Chamber of Commerce there. They have other names, but it's the equivalent. It's the Trade Association. And they would put on a seminar. And I would talk a little bit about Montana. Some of the Department of Commerce folks would speak. But we'd have hundreds of people in the audience, and then we'd have a reception afterwards. And it was like speed dating. We were just exchanging cards. And I think I have close to 100 follow-ups to get back to people that want to come to Montana. And this is what happened when we went to Taiwan 2 years ago. We had 49 entrepreneurs come to Montana as a consequence of our trip there. And that's part of what we were doing is saying, listen, let's make an introduction on this trip, but then let's get together again in Montana, sit down, and let's do some business.
Montana Governor Greg Gianforte, 25th governor of our great state, former U.S. congressman, entrepreneur as well, and has said, you know, when taking office, we're open for business, very, very much pro-business here, and wrapping up a session, South Korea and Japan. We'll hear from Director Gillian Street from the Ag Department and also members of the Commerce Department and some private third parties that came along here, too. And it's so good to hear their stories as well, Greg, because, you know, you're a diplomat and the governor of our state of Montana. But, you know, Steve and Turk, these are just Montanans there, like yourself, I know, just to just open up those kinds of levels. Talk about diplomacy. Talk about what the members had to know and how they executed that. And yourself, what did you take away diplomatically from meeting your counterparts?
Well, the length of the relationships are really important. You know, Pasta Montana buys a significant portion of our durum wheat. They have a manufacturing plant in Great Falls. That's a direct Japanese investment. When we met with Nippon, which is the company that made that investment, they had four people in the room. Three of them had lived in Great Falls for 2 years or more, operating that plant. So they have a long, and this is going back a long time. These are extended relationships. And again, every relationship, you have to invest in it to sustain it. And from my own experience working in Asia, relationships are critically important. And you can't just go and do the business meeting. You got to go then share a meal together. Mm-hmm. And kind of that's the other side, the willingness to commit time to build the trust ends up resulting in the business over the long term.
Yeah, and it's encouraging to hear, you know, they like to do business like we like to do business, face-to-face and maybe, you know, over a beverage that can take the edge off and maybe open up some ideas. What was your take? I mean, it had to be quite an honor, the Kumamoto Prefecture, our sister relationship with that in Japan. It's long-lasting, as you had noted, too, those long relationships. What's your takeaway from that?
Well, it was a pleasure to meet the governor of Kumamoto. The prefecture has about 1.5 million people, a few more people than Montana, but about the same order of magnitude. He welcomed us so graciously. We had a formal meeting in the government building there, and he was accompanied by many of his chief lieutenants. The speaker of the legislature was at his side. We had a very good, and I would call it a formal meeting with formal comments, both by him and myself, a discussion. We had Dina Mansour there from the Mansfield Center, who has really been shepherding all of our Asian diplomatic relationships and understanding and student exchange programs. But then we went to dinner, and they have a, I don't know what to call it, except a, what we would think of as a cartoon character mascot, Kumamon.
Oh, yeah.
And he showed up at dinner and danced for us. It's an odd thing, but boy, they love Kumamon. And I got to sit with the governor at dinner, and he just kept, it was a friendly time where, again, we deepened these relationships after this very formal business meeting that we had during the day.
Yeah.
And we were accompanied there by the president of a local university, many local business leaders, as well as our full delegation. And it was just it was a memorable time.
Did anybody crack a good joke? I mean, we've got a good sense of humor, and I think people are surprised at that, that people around the world have a pretty good sense of humor, too.
Oh, there was some laughing going on.
Just the old Montana way. Greg, stand by. Thank you so much for that. We're going to come back, and as you know, your director of Montana's Ag Department is going to join us. Julian Street was along, and then Turk Stovall also alongside as well, fifth-generation Montana rancher and first vice president of the Montana Stock Growers Association. We'll get into the commerce side of things a bit later on, but Director Street and Turk Stovall up next with Montana Governor Greg Gianforte. Montana Governor Greg Gianforte is with us here. And just fresh off of this trade mission, we're recapping that now with South Korea and Japan, really a couple of vital trade partners for the state of Montana. Joined now by the Montana Department of Agriculture Director Jillian Street and also Turk Stovall, a fifth-generation Montana rancher and also first vice president of the Montana Stock Growers Association. Jillian, how are you, ma'am?
I am doing great. Thanks for the phone call today.
Yeah, thanks for coming alongside. Turk, how about you?
Good morning, Tom. Always great to join you.
Yeah, thank you for being here. Jillian, let's just start. And Greg, I know Greg's with us as well. And Greg, feel free to lean in here as well. In fact, I'll start with you, Governor. How important is it to have representatives like Jillian Street and then Turk alongside for trips like this?
Well, it's particularly valuable to have Turk on the trip. Jillian did a great job leading the ag delegation. But our role in government is to enhance existing relationships and then get out of the way. Because ultimately, it's Turk and other stock growers that are going to do the business with the Japanese. And Turk, I'm kind of interested. What did you learn on this trip?
Well, the one thing I would say that I learned is we were in South Korea and in Japan, is they eat beef, and they eat a lot of beef. And in particular, they love American beef. And the American producer has such a great reputation of high-quality, safe product. I'd say the big thing we talked about is price. We know beef prices are high, but that really wasn't a limiting factor. Probably their biggest concern is can we get more supply? Mm. And so we talked a lot about these supply chains. We talked a lot about, the American cow herd is low, which is constraining supply channels. and, you know, where are we in that process? And they want more of our product, and there is just so much opportunity there. We just really need to continue these relationships, and we greatly appreciate you, Governor, putting this this trip together, because it really comes down to relationships, and being face-to-face means a lot to the Japanese culture as well as the Korean culture.
And Turk, talk about... you also took an ancillary kind of trip while you were over there to grow your brand outside of this. You know, talk about that opportunity.
You know, I stayed, I did stay a little longer. I wanted to learn more about the culture. I traveled around from Kumamoto up toward back towards Tokyo and took a bullet train. You know, when you're going through Japan and you have a cowboy hat on, there's no doubt you are an American, and it's just amazing how nice everybody is. Clearly, the look on my face was I was lost. I didn't know what I was doing, and how many people would even come up and just ask, "Hey, do you need some help here?" And wound up staying in Kumamoto one night, in Osaka one night. And ended up in Tokyo, but I really took a deep dive. I wanted to learn more about the Wagyu breed and how it's being positioned and how beef's being positioned. I did get to spend a day with a meat company through the Tokyo packing house, talked with importers there. We went through the harvesting process at the Tokyo packing house, which is very much similar to the United States. Those animals are actually trucked there from farms. They're all haltered. They're walked off of the trucks into the packing house. They go through the harvesting process. And then all of those carcasses are actually auctioned off to individual buyers or companies. And then they're railed into those buyers' fabrication coolers and fabbed and bagged and put into boxes right into distribution right on site. And so really, really had a great day learning a lot about that process and what it means to them as far as value, and talked about what type of American products would really fit into those marketplaces, and really, really learned a lot. And we're going to have some follow-up there relative to product coming in to those importers.
It's Turk Stovall again, Stovall Ranches, LLC. That's Yellowstone and Bighorn Counties. Also on that trip, Director Jillian Street from the Montana Ag Department. And Jillian, what's your takeaways? Anything, you know, that you fondly remember too?
Yeah, I think my biggest takeaway, and I know the governor touched on this earlier, but it is the long-term relationships. You know, as a mother of sixth-generation Montana family farm, I really want to see these long-term relationships for our children. And that is absolutely what the South Korean and Japanese buyers and manufacturers also want. So that consistency, that relationship. One of my biggest takeaways was in the Nippon meeting, like Governor Gianforte had mentioned, Nippon has large investments in Montana through Pasta Montana, was watching Justin Miller, our grower, who's grown durum for 25 years, just watching how excited he was to attend that meeting and get to meet with the company and explain how important their investment into Montana and their consistent buying of Montana durum, how important that is for his family farm. And so it was relationships like that we get to see that we've had for, you know, with these companies and these countries for a long time, and how impactful it is for the Montana family farmer.
Governor, did you want to weigh in or ask another question?
Well, Jillian, what were some of the other observations that you made? And just talk for, I mean, I know this, the Japanese and Korean culture are so sensitive to quality, and just what was their view of the quality of Montana grains?
When visiting with them, they absolutely 100% know, follow, and understand the quality that comes out of Montana. They follow our wheat market, I think, closer than we do at sometimes. They have had long-lasting relationships with the Montana Wheat and Barley Committee. It was great to have our executive director, Kent Kuffner, there, as well as Lee, one of the members of the Wheat and Barley Committee. And it was amazing to know how many of the buyers from all of the different companies have taken the time to come and visit Montana, to be on farm, to see how we produce our wheat. They know the Golden Triangle, which is awesome. That's where I was born and raised. Mm-hmm. And so for them to refer to the Golden Triangle and be excited about it, it tells me that we've been doing a good job marketing our grains. And it's also really, really nice to get to go and see the grocery stores. We went into the grocery store. We were taken there by the U.S. Wheat Associates, member that they have there in Japan. And we got to walk through the grocery store and see, you know, how they utilize our products. It's not just, you know, in bread or just in pasta, but their pastries and the color of their crackers. They're so particular on how they use our products. And that's why the quality of our products matter so much to them. If it's just a little bit off in the color, it's not acceptable, because that is how they want to market their product. Consistency matters for them, and that is why they love Montana products, is because we produce a quality, consistent product year after year.
That's Director Jillian Street, Montana Department of Agriculture. Governor Greg Gianforte also with us, and Turk Stovall. I got about 2.5 minutes here. Turk, I'm curious as to, and you kind of hit on it a little bit, you know, what's on your plate now to follow up on? They love our stuff. The quality is good. The supply is one thing. As first vice president of the Montana Stock Growers Association, what do you take back to that organization that gets those producers geared up to take more advantage of the market?
Well, the one thing that we were able to do while we're on our mission is we had dinners with importers that were already using products that really derive out of Montana. A lot of cattle out of Montana go into a supply system that goes into packing plants that were owned by AgriBeef, and goes through the plants in Idaho as well as in Washington. And those are really large supply chains of where those cattle are actually purchased out of Montana. And we were able to meet with those buyers with those product lines. And so now, as we follow back through with that, is they want more supply. And so we're going to follow up back through and seeing how can we coordinate more cattle going into those lines. And, you know, we talked a lot about Montana, and Montana has some of the best cattle really in the world, and it's high-quality cattle. And when you talk about these markets, they're looking for choice and prime products, and that is what Montana cattle can do.
Steve.
And they want more of it.
Yeah.
And so we need to be able to increase those supplies going into those plants and those product lines.
That's Turk Stovall again, one of the private parties that went alongside Director Jillian Street and Governor Greg Gianforte. Thank you guys for coming on. It went real fast. We're going to circle back, that's for sure. I know there's news coming out of there. Montana's global economic footprint growing. Governor Greg Gianforte led a trade mission, South Korea and Japan. We are getting a little bit of a recap of that. The governor's alongside. It was good to hear from Jillian Street, director of the Ag Department, Turk Stovall, Ag. Going to move to commerce here a little bit as Tony Brockman and Steve Ayer joins us here. Yeah, I know it's Halloween, and $115 a year per family is on the average. So, Cody, when you're looking in that Halloween bag tonight in your dinosaur costume, I guess you can think about that, but really don't. I mean, there is so much fun had in Halloween. 60% of the consumers celebrate it. 97% of those are purchasing. So happy Halloween to you. Be out there and be safe. We're going to have good weather this year as well. Again, Governor Greg Gianforte with us. Let's now move to commerce. Tony Brockman joins us. Tony, it's good to have you alongside, Business Attraction and International Relations Officer for the Montana Department of Commerce. How you doing, sir?
Hi, Tom. It's great to speak with you. Anytime I get a chance to speak to you, it's a good day.
It is. Yes, I always enjoy chatting with you. Steve Ayer, it's good to meet your acquaintance as well. Chairman and CEO of Solodex Incorporated. That's a medical device company that's based in Wolf Creek, Montana. No, he won't tell you where he fishes. Well, I shouldn't say that. He won't tell me where he fishes. Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Hey, Tom, it's nice to be on with you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being here. Governor Greg Gianforte with us as well. Governor, thank you again for this trip and for being alongside. I want you to kind of lean in and ask these guys questions. But tell me about, you know, Montana, we're well known for our ag, but technology, which is an area you were entrepreneurial in, and manufacturing, yeah. There's opportunities there. Talk about that.
So this was another facet of this trip to Korea and Japan. We talked about ag, but Montana exports a lot of other things. Industrial machinery, we exported $103 million of semiconductor fabrication equipment to Korea last year alone. Another growing area, photonics. Montana has the highest per capita concentration of these companies in the United States. One company we had on the trip, Semilink Materials. They have a partnership for specialty gases into the semiconductor industry. And then energy. You know, Montana has more coal than any other state in the United States. So we met with coal buyers. Steve is in the bioscience, Solodex, and he came on the trip and was able to sign a new distribution deal while he was there. Steve, why don't you share a little bit about your business and the relationship you established?
Well, thank you, Governor. I'm interested in pain management. It's something we all face, and particularly post-surgical pain management. Solodex is bringing to the market, both in the United States and abroad, non-opioid, very important, non-opioid pain block. We're not suppressing pain. We're blocking it totally for up to 8 days. And what's exciting about this is these are two economies who have an aging population, and a serious need for pain management, and what we're all learning around the world today is that opioids are not the answer. Opioids are creating part of the problem. Post-surgical management of pain is something we're all going to face. So a knee, a shoulder, a hip, a hand, a wrist, an elbow, something that happens to us in our activities, and we're a very active population. We can have these pain blocked without impairing our ability to think, our ability to eat, or our ability to sleep. And that's what Solodex does in a 90-second procedure that's placed either immediately before or immediately after surgery. That's what we do, Governor, and it's been my pleasure to introduce it to Japan and also to Korea and other places.
So talk about the deal that you did in Japan.
Oh, I'd love to talk about it. The Japanese are absolutely the top of their game in terms of quality in medical technology, and they're no exception. I shared a 1,000 yen bill that has on it the face of not a president, not a politician, but the father of Japanese medicine, and who actually hails from Kumamoto, actually. But he 150 years ago founded a company that today is a $28 billion market cap company. I would say several tens of billion larger than Solodex. And we were able to attract their attention over the period, over the course of a lot of time, really. The Department of Commerce hosted a booth a couple of years ago in Yokohama, and in that booth, we met with the head of strategic planning, and after a lot of work and a lot of diligence, during this trip to Japan, we're able to sign a deal for to export to Japan our technology. I might say that in my past lives, I've had a lot of attempts to sell into Japan, but it really takes the tip of a spear, somebody with the foresight and the energy and the stature of our governor to really open up the senior doors there to make things happen. And we signed a deal there that allows us to address the entire market in Japan at the hospital level. And we couldn't be more excited to do the same thing we're already doing in the benefits health system and Billings Clinic in Montana and around the United States, but to also bring that to Japan. Governor, may I add a comment about Korea?
Yeah.
I haven't had the chance to share this with you yet, but we had a meeting. We had a dozen meetings, but we had a meeting with one gentleman in particular who had reached out to us in 2018, and it had been an email conversation and back and forth, and it really didn't go anywhere. Well, we went over there, and it just was by luck that we had the same connection. I had no knowledge of this prior arrangement, but we run into the same individual who had reached out to us. And this really speaks to the need for a trade mission, because we'd had this conversation. It didn't go anywhere. But when we got face-to-face, things clicked, and we have a really fast opportunity. He says, I don't even want to know about what you have. I know it very well. He says, let's talk about how we can go to work. And so the face-to-face situation that was occasioned by this opportunity to go there and in the presence of a senior team from Montana was fantastic. And the Montana brand is not just ag, it's not energy, it's not just beef. It extends also into technology. We have such a legacy of seven of the top 11 childhood vaccines coming from Miles City. We have a new Nobel Prize winner in whitefish in medicine. We have other residents that are living there quietly that are very the top of their game in technology in this area, and it's really a pleasure to be the host of Marta Bertovio and other from the Department of Commerce and others to really add to the stature that we can have, Governor. That's where it was really interesting.
Yeah, and Steve, you're so right. In the Asian cultures, business gets done face to face, and you just have to be there. And I'm so glad to celebrate that distribution deal that you signed in Japan, and sounds like an opportunity in Korea too. Now, Tony, we had a number of networking events sponsored by some of the largest industry associations, both in Korea and Japan. Share a little bit about what went on in those meetings and what was your perception?
Absolutely, sir. So we had a couple of, as you said, networking events. In those events, we had businesses and Department of Commerce members explain the business culture of our state. And then after that formal presentation, to your earlier point, it was kind of like speed dating, where Korean and Japanese business folks got together with our business folks. We hosted nine businesses with us to Korea and Japan, and they just connected and were able to share ideas. From all accounts, I think it went off well. Of course, Steve shared his success. We had another success that isn't ready for prime time, but that was a business out of Billings that made a very good deal, and I think it was a great opportunity for Montana businesses to shine. You know, to the earlier point, both Korea and Japan really like high quality products, and Montana has that in spades.
Mm-hmm. Steve, what will this do for your business?
Oh, the Japanese market's enormous, and it's unlike a lot of developing markets. Its currency is valuable. It can mean a lot. It can put us on the map. Just to put it in perspective, a Japanese success can carry a company, and that's enough to really warm my heart. But one of the other themes that came up, if I could just mention it briefly, Governor, is this new legislation, Right to Try, which is going to reshape our medicine in Montana by offering patients who can move with a licensed clinic and try some of these medical technologies unavailable anywhere else in the United States. I think that's a very important thing for these pharmaceutical companies and others who have technologies offshore that want to begin a U.S. process but haven't yet been able to work through the very lengthy and time-consuming and expensive process of the FDA. That's a good thing for Montana patients.
Steve, it was very valuable. I got to run, and I'll come back with the final thoughts from Greg. But, Steve, that was so valuable to hear your story. Thanks for sharing that with us, and I look forward to learning more about it. It's Solo Dex Incorporated and Solo, SOLO-DEX.com for more information. Steve Ayres, the chairman and CEO. Congratulations on that, Steve. And it's a lot of hard work on your guys' end, too. And same for Tony. Tony, thank you for putting all that together. And we'll chat more down the road, okay?
All right, sounds
thank
good.
You. Thank you.
Governor Greg Gianforte wraps up here on Voices on a Friday as we go back over that South Korea Japanese trade mission. And Governor, I thank you so much for doing this. I thank you for getting out there as well. This exemplifies how valuable these trade missions are. What are some of your takeaways from what was shared here?
Well, Tom, thanks for having me on and for dedicating the whole show to this. Korea and Japan are consistently in Montana's top five trading partners. Korea, second largest trading partner, $335 million of Montana products going there every year. Japan is the fourth largest, $265 million every year. These countries are a big part of the Montana economy. So it was important we took a delegation. Our goal, twofold. One was to shore up existing business relationships, and secondly, to look for new opportunities. And we heard some of that on the show today. We focused on ag, making sure they understand the quality of Montana grains, really just reinforcing that brand, the investments. Korea, as part of the trade negotiation that President Trump has done, they're going to put $335 billion into infrastructure in the United States. What does that look like? Well, Pasta Montana, Japanese company, built a pasta factory in Great Falls, and they buy a lot of our durum. We're going to see more investments like that. Both the Koreans and the Japanese are very quality conscious. They want American beef. They want American grain. So I think we're going to do more business there. But then another facet are these other industries, whether it's industrial machinery, photonics, energy. We met with the coal buyers. We're trying to expand those markets as well. And we heard from Steve Ayres. That's just such a great example.
Yeah.
Here's a company out of Wolf Creek, Montana, signs a distribution deal with a $28 billion a year Japanese company to take their Montana-made products into the Japanese market. That's just such an example, great example of what we're trying to accomplish. And literally, we came back with hundreds of contacts that we're going to follow up on through the Department of Commerce, working with Montana entrepreneurs in biosciences, semiconductor fabrication, photonics, and energy to see if we can establish new relationships and build more business there.
Yeah, go Montana. Can you do this in 30 seconds? Did the tariffs come up as a top-level issue?
Occasionally, but it was like, hey, we got to fix the tariffs things. Let's talk about doing more business.
Yeah. And
fortunately, I was almost like the advance team for Trump because he was there the next
right.
week.
Yeah.
And we got the deal done. So we're fine. But it was of concern. It did not dominate the conversations.
Good, good. I'm glad to hear that. Thank you. Where are you going next?
I got to recover from this
one. Okay, all right.
Jet lag involved.
Come on, Tom. Come on. Train leaves at 8 a.m. tomorrow. Anyway. Thank you so much.
Yeah, we went to Taiwan 2 years ago.
Right.
This was a very important trip for us. We got to make some hay out of the work we did there, and then we'll saddle up. We'll go do another one.
We'll follow up with you too. Thanks, Greg. Have a great weekend, sir.
Okay. Thank you, Tom.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast, and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.